What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of our series of podcasts on hermeneutics for Christ Church of Acadiana. I'm Pastor Stewart. With me, as always, is Pastor Brandon Neely from Christ Church Northside. And we're here to open the scoop on what it means to be David. Should we be David? Should we not be David?
Should we dare to be a David?
Right. At what point do we act like him and do we not? We've been going through this in our sermon series for a little bit. We've been talking about 1 Samuel and specifically his fleeing from Saul so far and how that impacts and informs our lives. But the big question over all of it is, should we act like him?
That's right. It's in our sermons, we don't lay out the hermeneutical presuppositions of how we interpret and apply the text. We just interpret it and we imply it. We don't tell the people there's four different views on this particular passage, and the reason these views are held is because of these underlying presuppositions. We don't go into all of that.
Right.
We just interpret it and we apply it. But there is a method to the madness. You know, when do we imitate David? When do we not imitate David? There are certain principles that we follow to answer that question. Dare to be a David on the rooftop?
Maybe not on the rooftop.
Not on the rooftop.
Not on the rooftop. That'd be a bad choice.
That is when we don't imitate David. Right? Do we imitate David when he is standing up courageously in faith against Goliath?
That seems like a good idea.
Yes. Yeah. That's good.
I like that.
What about when David is pretending to be insane, foaming at the mouth, scratching at the doors with the king of Gath, Achish? Do we imitate him there? He gets a little tricky, you know?
It gets a little tricky. It does.
It gets tricky. So when do we imitate him? When do we not imitate him? And if we're going to imitate him, do we imitate him precisely or in principle? Yeah, there's a lot to this particular discussion, but we have, if I can count them up, five or six things to look at to determine whether or not we should imitate David in that precise moment.
Okay.
Or imitate, I don't know, JL as she hammers the spike through the tyrant's forehead or temple.
Okay.
Or imitate Phineas as he javelins the copulating couple before the Lord.
So that brings up a good question. So should we think about imitating Bible characters at all in the first place?
Yes. A lot of people say, you know, it's not about you. They're not written to be moral lessons for us. But honestly, that's just dumb. That's synonym stupid. The Bible tells us very clearly that the Old Testament, all the stories are written for our examples. And the New Testament perpetually puts forward the Old Testament stories as examples of faith, Hebrews chapter 11.
That's very true.
That's right. So, of course, we're supposed to imitate them. We are to imitate Daniel and David and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Abel, not Cain, and David on his good days, etc., right? But how do we know when to imitate and when not to imitate? That is the question.
Okay.
Here it is. So here's just a overall answer to the question is we must use the analogy of Scripture. We must compare Scripture with Scripture. Sometimes the text itself is going to tell us if it's a sin or not.
That's true.
Sometimes it will tell us it's righteous or not righteous.
So make notes. On those spots.
Read the text carefully. If you read the story of David and Bathsheba, it's clear that that is a sin.
Right.
Now, what's not clear is that David raped Bathsheba. You know, oftentimes that's applied that way because they're taking modern constructs and modern isms and saying David, because of the power structures, automatically raped Bathsheba. But the text says nothing about that. Nowhere in the Bible is that taught. See, they're not using the analogy of Scripture. They're using
the cultural analogy of the day.
Yeah, they're imposing things on the text based on their cultural agendas.
We call that eisegesis.
Yeah, right.
That's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, but then David takes a census numbering all the troops, and I wonder, why is that a sin? What's so bad about that? But God says it's a sin. Interesting. So that helps us interpret that text. You see? Israel, remember, they desired to have a king. I wouldn't think automatically that that was sinful, but the text tells us it was sinful.
Right.
They wanted a king like all the other nations.
Right.
They were no longer trusting God. So sometimes the text tells us what's going on in the heart of the character. Sometimes the text makes it clear for us. So when the text says it's sin, obviously we don't imitate. Right?
Our podcast today, guys.
That'll be it, right? But it doesn't always tell us in the text.
Right.
For example, there's plenty of places where polygamy is mentioned and practiced by Christians, and yet the text doesn't say explicitly that it's sinful.
In that paragraph.
In that particular text.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So sometimes we have to look to other texts of Scripture that might say something about it.
Right.
You know, when King David ate the leftover holy bread with Ahimelech the priest at Nob, is that righteous or unrighteous? Well, Jesus told us it was righteous.
Yep.
So that helps us to compare and contrast Scripture with Scripture to know, should we imitate David here? Right. When David played crazy with Achish, nowhere in the Bible does it say that was a sin. But he was lying. He was deceiving. Yes, but the Bible actually commends people for lying to tyrants, like Rahab or the Hebrew midwives. And we also can read the Psalms that David wrote while he was in Gath, or near the time he was in Gath, and we can see that while he was afraid, he was also trusting in the Lord, and the Lord was answering his prayers. There's no evidence that David was in sin at all.
And the Lord was delivering him.
That's right. The way I see it, his going crazy was, he was playing a part. It was a strategy that the Lord gave him to save his life in that heated moment. And how do we know that Rahab lying to the Canaanite Gestapo to save the lives of the spies, how do we know that that was a righteous lie?
Well, she was added to the lineage of Jesus because of her faithfulness.
Yes, because the Bible and other texts commends her.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know the Hebrew midwives, when they lied to Pharaoh? Because the Bible commends their faith.
Mm-hmm.
You say, but lying, that doesn't fit my paradigm.
Then you've got the wrong paradigm.
Then your paradigm is wrong. That's right. You are applying to the text some modern-day legalistic, simplistic understanding of the law rather than the biblical understanding of the law.
Mm.
And when you understand the spirit of the law, you know that it is sometimes, for the good of your neighbor, necessary to lie to tyrants.
Mm.
You know, tyrants don't deserve the truth. They twist the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God lied to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Fake left went right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The devil would have known that crucifying Christ was going to lead to his destruction. He wouldn't have done that.
Right.
But God faked him out.
Right.
God was shrewd, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we can also, though, we can look to the law.
Okay.
And there are certain portions of Scripture that lay out the law and the various laws more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a story of polygamy. Lamech's two wives in Genesis, for example, or Abraham or David or Solomon. And it may not say explicitly that that was wrong. But we read in the law and we know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We read by implication when God made Adam and Eve one, the two become one. We know by implication or inference that, that polygamy is sinful.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it may not say it explicitly in that particular text, it says it in other portions of Scripture. And the law teaches us that polygamy is a sin.
Right.
A very egregious sin. And we also see that everywhere it's tried, well, you know,
problems. They come pretty quick.
Nations are divided and kingdoms burn.
Right.
Right. And anytime it's tried, you see it wreaking havoc in the lives of the participants. You had mentioned before the show when we were talking that we would naturally perhaps think that it's a sin to refuse to celebrate. You know,
but the law says so.
But the law says, you know, I don't feel like going to festival this year. You know, I'm not so, my heart is not so filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. I would rather mope. I would rather Netflix and chill.
Right.
What will the non-believers think if we're out there celebrating God's good deeds? What about our witness? You know, you wouldn't know that it's a sin to refuse to celebrate unless you had the law of God.
Right. That's right. Amen.
It makes it clear. Makes it clear. So, we can look at the law, we can look at other texts, we can look at the text itself. We can look at the Psalms that were written while David was participating in a certain thing here and there. David wrote certain Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
As he's fleeing from Saul, he wrote Psalm 5.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We can read it, and we can know his heart, and we can know whether or not he's in sin or not in sin.
Right.
See, David is a great example for us as he's fleeing from Saul. He's an example of how to resist tyranny righteously. So we can pull out a lot of principles from that.
Absolutely.
But when we get to David and Bathsheba, we know from the law, we know from Nathan the prophet.
Shouldn't do that. Don't do that.
We're not going to pull out marriage principles, you know.
Right.
Except by using him as a bad example.
Right. All right. He's the foil.
So look, we'll just finish it out for today this way. Well, maybe two more things.
Okay.
If you want a foolproof test for whether or not you are sitting under a good Bible teacher, right, you give him a difficult passage, like David playing crazy.
Okay.
In Gath.
Okay.
And you listen for one thing. Does he interpret it and apply it using other biblical texts?
Or is he bringing worldly principles on?
Yes. Or is he applying it and interpreting it based on the modern day political correct isms or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, does he go to David deceiving the king by playing mad and say, now look, David, you know, he was struggling with his faith here. He lied. You know, we shouldn't lie. You have yourself a simplistic, ignorant, or maybe even a bad Bible teacher there.
Right.
Or he says, well, David, you know, he's in sin because he has fear. You know, fear is sinful. We shouldn't have fear. Excuse me, the Bible tells us to fear God and fear the king.
Right.
And to fear mama bears and lions and clowns and falling out of your canoe and Lake Martin.
The edges of cliffs and all those things.
Yeah, that's insane. So they're just taking their common sense, you know, their upbringing, their traditions, whatever it might be, and they are making little applications from the text. No. Use the rest of the Bible to interpret and to apply. That's the key.
Right.
That's how you can know whether or not a pastor has a solid hermeneutic underneath his interpretation and application of stories.
Right.
That's right. And then last but not least, do we then imitate them precisely? Of course not.
Right.
You know, David needed a sword. Mm-hmm. He got the sword of Goliath. Well, we don't need swords. We need guns.
Different.
Right. David, you know, he ate rye bread, I suppose. We could eat white or wheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David played crazy before the king of Achish. Well, we're not going to necessarily do that, but if you're under the investigation by the foster services because your atheist neighbor turns you in for spanking your kids, you better play something.
Real fast.
You better play something real fast. You better play dumb.
Right.
Or play sad or play nice, whatever it is, you've got a tyrant knocking on your door, and you may not be imitating him precisely. I hope you don't.
Right.
Foaming at the mouth is not going to help you in this situation, but you better play something. You better play nice at least.
Right.
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 Or, you know, well, you get the point.
Right.
We don't apply it precisely exactly the same way. We take the principle up out of that, and we apply it to our modern
lives. The lives of the church fathers are illustrations of principles.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to get to here.
Amen. These things were laid out for us as an example, but when to imitate and when not to imitate, that is a question that has to be answered by the rest of the Bible.
Amen.
So that's it for me today.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode of our series of podcasts on hermeneutics. We hope you found this helpful. You can go to our website, wearechristchurch.com, to find more in these series. You can also go to sermonaudio.com and search for the keyword, We Are Christ Church, all one word, to find more resources. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.